This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And shout out again to all those people who hate my guts, but is sitting in a quiet place listening to my show. You are obsessed and sick, okay? Okay, I'll be right back. Let's get into stuff now.
Now tune into the great International Fart Talking Podcast, is bringing you discussions and personal commentary on music, entertainment, celebrities, politics, love, health, and happiness. Catch up on missed episodes anywhere you can find a podcast on all platforms: Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Audible, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Overcast, Castbox, YouTube, and many more. So do you want the tea? Well, simply talk with her, bitch. Just talk with me.
I spend time and I spend energy and I spend effort and I spend everything I have, every fiber of my being, to give people quality.
Kill 2 and 3 motherfucking birds with one stone. By being my babies. And oh no, no. At Turk Bish underscore, I'm gonna talk about here you go crunching ice and not it. It ain't even ice. It's a tootsie fucking roll. It's a tootsie roll. That's what you get. Thinking you cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Turk Bish.
Today, I have the pleasure of introducing a prominent figure in the LGBTQIA plus community. Not only is she a trans right advocate, she became a businesswoman from being a self-taught computer programmer, cultivating her own business as CEO and founder of TransTech Social Enterprises. She wears many hats in the entertainment industry, as she is an astounding actress best known for her iconic television roles in Pose and American Horror Story, 1984. Join me in welcoming the groundbreaking Angelica Ross.
Hello there.
How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. You know, I'm living, I'm learning, and most of all, learning to love myself, you know, more and more each day.
That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. I want to thank you, first and foremost. That's the first thing I do for anybody who comes on my show, because you don't have to do this, but you take time out of your busy day to come and be a part of the foundation that I'm building here on my end.
So absolutely.
I want to thank you. And thank you for all the work that you have put in into our community.
Thank you.
Especially during this month, Pride Month. And so I wanted to give you your flowers. I wanted to start off with that, because that's what my show is all about, is giving back and giving flowers to those in our community and to Black culture who, you know, adds to it and for the betterment of all of our people. And so I want to start out by saying that first and foremost.
Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. So we're going to move right along. So I want to thank you. Like I said, you've been such a powerful voice for trans community, both as an activist and as an actress. So for those who may not be familiar, could you start by telling us a bit about your journey and how you became so deeply involved with your activism today?
Well, again, thank you so much for that wonderful intro, and just for the love I really appreciate it. And of course I would come, you know, if I had the time to make space, because, you know, I truly do think it's really important that we are in control of our own narratives. Yes. As Black people, as LGBTQ plus folks, because there's just right. people who have not been in community with us, right. who are speaking on our behalf, yes. and don't always get it right. So, you know, this is our time to set the record straight. In our own words and on our own terms. One second. Please, don't play me. You see that I'm in the conversation right now, so you want to act up. Down.
I love that.
Sorry, get back to my... No, you can put it back in there. I just had to get my kids together. You know, I'm a Black mama, but, you know, my puppies, my dogs. I have two Dobermans, and they're both 60 pounds each. So they think they're running stuff up in here just because they're so big and strong. But you ain't running nothing up in here.
Okay, I have...
Candy...
Me and my fiance, we have a Chihuahua and we have a Chihuahua Shih Tzu mixed.
So yes.
You can only imagine what we go through with those two.
Listen, Bart, yeah, just yapping. But no, I got my Black and tan dog. Her name is Candy. I named her after, obviously, Candy Ferocity. And I have her now partner, Kodo. So they are thick as thieves, but, you know, they keep me protected. They're fierce and they keep me protected, yeah.
I love that. Now, one thing I did forget to ask, because I always start out by asking, how is your mental state, your mental health today? Like, what's been going on with you? Like, are you in a good place right now? I always ask people that because I feel like it's very important to check in with others because you never know what anybody's going through. So how has your mental health been lately? And what can you give to others who struggle with mental health issues or, you know, just emotions, going through the motions?
Well, I will say, fortunate for me, I have learned some tools over the years that help me to maintain my mental health. So, first and foremost, you know, being a Nichiren Buddhist and practicing Nichiren Buddhism and chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, I've been practicing for now 15 years. I was introduced to the practice in 2010 in Los Angeles. And it is a practice that has completely... change the game. And anyone who it changes the game, and anyone who ever is introduced to it and gets into the thick of it, mm-hmm. it completely rewires. Go sit down. Stop playing with me. Down. You better stop or else you're going in the crate. Stay. Blythe.
I love this. They're gonna see that you're a regular human.
You know what I'm saying? And then go back to being a nice mom, you know? You know, it really gave me the ability to navigate some really treacherous terrain. And, you know, navigating the streets as a trans woman, navigating sex work, navigating relationships, navigating underemployment, navigating family, family basically abandonment, you know, and abandoning you at certain times when you really need them. So, you know, experiencing spiritual abuse from the church that I was raised up in. Right. So there is a lot to be traumatized from. Yeah. There is so much understanding I have for so many LGBTQ folks who are on the streets and doing the best they can with what they got.
Right.
And sometimes not acknowledging that what they have is also some trauma that they may or may not be dealing with. And so for me, luckily, with the Buddhist practice, I've had that to help me deal with my, you know, mental state, because, you know, I just had one of my Buddhist mentors over the other day and, you know, just broke down into tears talking with her, because as much as we know, really, you know, we have the saying, suffer what there is to suffer.
Yeah.
Enjoy what there is to enjoy, but never stop chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. And basically what that means is I've got to get practice at least at trying to maintain a consistent life state,
yeah.
whether there is suffering or whether there is joy, that yeah. I maintain myself so I am not swept up by what they say, the eight winds of, you know, decline or despair or prosperity and fame and all these other things, not being swept away by these things,
right.
but be able to stay steady. And so, you know, in such a challenging time right now where everyone is under attack, from immigrants to trans people,
yes.
Black folks and police police brutality, you know, women and, you know, just bodily autonomy. So much is under attack and is really trying to attack our mental state so that we lose hope and we have despair and we don't want to do anything or say anything. Yeah. I'm happy to say that I, you know, am not, I'm in a good place. Where I can feel all the things, not ignore the things, not try to distract myself from seeing the reality of things, but to be able to sit with all the things and still be mentally well is something that you have to practice.
Okay, because listen, the mantra that I live by is what Mariah Carey said, I'm doing the best with what I got.
I'm doing the best I can with what I got. I love it. I live. Yes.
I'm so glad that you brought up something, though, because when we talk about the state of trans rights today, there's still so much work that needs to be done across the board. And from someone who's not trans, but I have many trans friends, I actually can see the work that needs to be done. So from your perspective, what are the biggest obstacles that trans people are facing today, and especially the youth?
Butch Queens.
Youth.
Butch Queens. Biggest obstacle, them motherfuckers, the weakest link. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to curse, but yeah.
Okay,
good. But yeah, no, weakest link. And I say that because in a fight where we need everybody, we need every voice, we have voices within our own community that don't get it. We have voices within our community that still can't stand in true solidarity with us and are part of the harm that we're, and part of the harm. I mean, I just saw at, you know, Capitol Pride or DC Pride or something like that, where, you know, the folks who were in charge of booking people for the Pride booked, booked Kaya on stage.
Yes, and you spoke out about that. I was watching.
Yes, and why would you do that when this person has been so openly, and she tried to, like, you know, act like that wasn't the case, but just alone in the post that Gay Magazine made, they have the receipts right there in the carousel, you know, of her saying the terrible things that she has said. So in a time where corporations have been rolling back and have not been behind and funding our prides and our organizations, you know, we have got to learn to divest from these systems and to reinvest in LGBTQ artists, LGBTQ organizations. Listen, I love J-Lo like the next person, but J-Lo will be fine. There are other trans and LGBTQ artists who, because of the climate, definitely need the support right now. And you know, some people, I saw some people say, well, we don't know their music. Well, what a good time to get to know their music. What a good calling to say, you know what, I don't know enough LGBTQ and queer artists, let alone, I know, listen, people don't have to be embarrassed about that. That's just the way that it is. That's the way that we're conditioned. So the reality is, I woke up one day and realized I didn't know enough queer artists and trans artists' views instead of doing things to make a difference.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to leave it right there, and we're going to move on.
Yeah.
We put a pin in that right
Yes.
She said all that needed to be said. So, you've openly shared about your experiences growing up and the struggles you faced as a trans woman. And we don't have to go back into, you know, growing up.
All the trauma.
Yeah, all the trauma. We don't have to do that. But can you take us back to a time and describe your journey was like before you began your advocating for rights as a trans woman? Like, what was that moment that said, I have to take a stance? Because all of us have that moment sometimes in our life, and we don't realize that it was a defining moment in tuning who we are and who we want to be. So can you even remember that moment?
Yeah, I definitely remember the moment.
You do.
I was in South Florida, in Boca Raton, living in my home in a gated community.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly.
With my ex-fiance now, and we were together 8 years, and we were engaged to be married, and I remember us in our back little patio with some friends who was an older white gay couple. And I remember talking to them about the challenges that trans people were facing, or, you know, just around the world or what have you. And as we were, you know, sipping our wine glasses and things like that, you know, basically the tone of the conversation coming from them was, but why are you concerned with that? That's not your issue.
What?
Because it's not my personal issue. I don't have issues going to a bathroom. I don't have issues getting a job. I don't have issues finding a man. That's like 101, the easiest thing on earth to do, you know? So like, so, you know, they were like, you know, so why do you care? And, you know, with my fiance being Italian, with them being white, you know, I realize it, especially I've done so many college talks, and this is what has helped me to translate and get white men and even now black men and black women and other folks to recognize their privilege. Because when you recognize your privilege, you can transition your privilege into power. You can transmute your privilege into power and use that power for good. And so, you know, with white folks, when they recognize their privilege, then they put their bodies on the front line at protests. When Bree Newsom took down the American flag, took down the Confederate flag, there was a white man who was just in a construction vest.
Yeah.
And because he was a construction vest and a white man, people thought he was official. And he used his black, I mean, excuse me, he used his white privilege to protect that black woman. Yeah. And so I woke up to my passing privilege. I woke up to my academic privilege. I woke up to my pretty privilege and realized that when I put those things together, people listen.
Yep.
And so I was able to build and attract eyes and build a platform, you know, advocating just for starting, you know, for my rights alone. But, you know, because when I was with my ex at that time, I was in school for drama. Well, actually, I was in school as a pre-med student with a like 3.5 GPA. I was killing it. But going into my junior year, I think I really realized that I was just doing that to prove a point to my parents that I could do it. But that's not what I wanted to do, you know?
That's what I did.
And so I went to theater school and I went to the theater program and started going to acting and creative writing classes and stuff like that. And so, what was I answering?
You were explaining, that moment that you remember.
So I was in school, you know, to do that. I was working as a real estate agent. I had my boo, but you know, his family didn't know we were engaged. They knew I was trans, but only after this first or second year that I made him say something, because I just felt like we were living. Well, I just got tired of his mother thinking that I was pregnant and I was shacking up with him and hiding a pregnancy or something like that. So I was like, you need to tell her I'm trans. I'm not pregnant. And so, you know, I realized that I was living in this man's shadow, and there was no way that I could be Angelica Ross if I stayed there. So I gave him back that Tiffany diamond ring and I broke off the engagement, broke off the relationship. And that is the moment I realized that, you know, that there was, I needed to advocate and there would be more for me out there. And, you know, I went into immediate challenge, immediate like struggle. But that was just the beginning of my journey, and it's full of that. But I also had learned to build that muscle, how to overcome a challenge. Yeah.
And you recognize that. I love that for you.
Thank you.
So that's a great moment. So thank you for speaking about that. I think that's very important.
Yes.
So I want to transition and talk about some of the things that you have done when it comes to business. So like, you're the founder of TransTech Social Enterprises, a platform that empowers trans individuals through tech training, and job opportunities. So how did that come to you, and what has been the impact on the trans community from that? I just love that. Like, that's my favorite thing. I was ready to talk
Thank
about
you.
This.
Yes. Yeah, no, trans tech has had a huge global impact, and we've been around for 11 years now, and we have over 7,000 members worldwide. And it is a community of people who are new to tech and those who have been in tech as experts now over 10, 20 years. Okay. And so what you realize with this is that when it comes to transition, it has to be done on your own time. And we're just ready at different times. And some of us can't wait. We can't wait. We have to transition now, which means that it might prevent us from getting jobs before we've even had the chance to develop those skills or be let into those spaces to get those skills and then go and struggle. And then there are others who had hid that parts of themselves for years and years and years, and they got job experience. They became, you know, sales executives or CEOs here or there, and then they transition later in life. And those are members of our community as well who now have something to offer with all that experience. But guess what? So do the people who started out right away and have street knowledge and, you know, who went to the school of hard knocks, you know. So with Trans Tech, we say that everyone has something to teach and everyone has something to learn. And so Trans Tech came out of the reality that I was trafficked into sex work. And I was posing on adult websites, and, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I met one woman, a white trans woman who was running her website, who kind of realized I had something a little different going on, you know, than the girls who were coming through. And she was like, she was like, you are a little different. She was like, come over here, you know, can you help me, you know, with designing the website and updating it every month. And, you know, because I was very computer savvy. And so instead of posing on the website, I was running the website. And that's where it began me understanding how I could get out the margins by learning tech skills. And so I was Photoshopping the girls. I was doing all kind of things. And then I took those skills and took them and created my own creative design studio called My Zen Studios that I ran for 10 years. Before I even started doing advocacy work. So, you know, so that's the thing, is that people don't know how much work actually goes into what you now see, you know, on the surface. So it was my experience running my own creative design place and my experience being a hoe, bringing those things together. Yes, and realizing that I could come up with a blueprint that could give the girls back their power instead of being exploited by these men on their websites, or instead of being, you know, having other people sell them or tell them what they need. I want to show you, baby, how to sell it yourself.
That's what I have right here. I said, in your work with Trans Tech, you focus on economic independence for trans people. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, you know, why do you think that was important? But you kind of already answered that.
But I got to be clear, though, it's not just for trans people.
It's for everyone, right?
It is literally for the entire LGBTQ plus community, but we center trans people.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's fair, though.
Absolutely, it's fair. Because what we have to understand in a world that's run by white supremacy, we have to learn how that what divestment includes is decentering. So as we divest, we are decentering whiteness. Whiteness is not at the center of my world, nor is maleness. Men are not at the center of my world. And there was a time when all I could think about was a man and getting ready for a man and trying to catch a man. Yes, they're not the. So as I decenter myself from these things, we start to center community. And not just community, we also need to learn how to center ourselves, be centered. Right. Yeah.
Now, before we do, you know, come to a close, I know I have to mention this because if I don't, I'm probably going to get red.
Okay. So. Yes. I'm willing to talk about whatever. So go ahead, honey.
So, of course, you've also made a significant mark in Hollywood.
Yes.
Pose has been groundbreaking in its portrayal of trans characters and the LGBT community in general and their stories. So how did being a part of that show change your perspective on both your career and the community? Oof. Because, listen, you left a mark. You left a mark. You scarred us all, boo.
Oh, that show taught me so much.
I know.
It taught me so much, and so much of it I honestly cannot share yet, but...
I know.
And the only reason why I say it is just because I think it's still too fresh. It's for some folks. And, you know, I'll say this. The reason why I say that is because I'm someone who's tried to be really respectful of other people being in control of their own narratives and stories.
Okay.
The hard part is when I'm also a part of that story. So, right. You know, that's so that's the hardest part because I'm also entitled to my story.
Yes.
And so, but I still have been very mindful because of our community and because how much I love and protect our community, that I'm just waiting for folks to come to their own aha moments.
Right.
And when they are ready, then I'm ready to talk. I'm always ready. But when they're ready, I'm ready to talk. But I will say that, you know, there. What I know is that so many people were not ready for that show.
Yeah, they weren't.
From the audience to the actors.
Yeah.
And the situation is that, you know, when you're collaborating, people who are making television knows that it's hard to get a show made.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a show greenlit, and it's hard to keep it on the air. So when you're also doing foolery on top of it, it's, you know, it's just hard to keep it together, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I learned so much because when I was on set, as soon as my makeup was done, or if they were not ready for me yet in hair and makeup, I was on set. I wasn't just sitting in my, yeah, sometimes I was sitting in my trailer, you know, learning my lines, doing my thing. But as an actor for Candy, you know, if I'm there that day and we're doing a scene in my apartment, then I went and lived in my apartment. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I...
You took it on.
That's how I really took on the 80s. That's how I took on everything. I lived in the space. I picked up a nail file, started filing my nails. Everything was not just the thing in the apartment. It was
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Something that I felt was useful, you know, I said we needed hot sauce in there with the popcorn because I put hot sauce on my popcorn, you know, when Candy and Lulu was having popcorn when Electra joined the house, you know. And so, but not only was I doing that, when I went on set, I was also talking to the grips, to the sound people. To the gaffers and, you know, the camera people and all that. I was in Video Village watching certain things. I'm an executive producer.
You were learning.
I was learning. And since leaving that, I've executive produced a short series that got 4 daytime Emmy nominations. One of those nominations was for Janet Hubert, the OG Aunt Viv.
Yes.
So I was so fortunate to be able to EP a project that gave her flowers like that, but was also starring and leading an unknown at that time Black trans woman. So again, showing that I'm not, don't need to always be up front.
Yeah.
And that's why I have been so invested in tech, because when I say tech, I don't just mean coding. I mean, these are the things that are going to let you be able to say lights, camera, action. And so with Pose, you know, I learned my value. I learned how to pay attention. I learned to be on. I literally was on my P's and Q's all the time because I knew that I didn't have the privilege like other people may have had to mess up or skip that. I was number 6 or 7 on the call sheet. So, you know, I needed to keep it cute. But when I was then offered the role, when Brian Murphy came to me and said, okay.
Shout out to Brian Murphy.
Yeah, well, not really, but yeah, but, you know, when Ryan Murphy came to me and offered me another role on American Horror Story, but he told me, you know, that I would be my role would be ending on Pose, I was devastated at first. And, you know, I interpreted by the way that he said it was that this is what we were doing. And, you know, it was going to move a lot of people and, you know, make a big impact. He said that, you know, he really had faith in my acting skills to be able to do this and make people feel it. Yeah. And so, you know, there was this assumption that I would go over to American Horror Story right after Pose. Mm-hmm. What I did was played on that assumption. Because you're not going to just treat me like any tool in the toolbox that you can pick up and put down anytime that you want.
Exactly.
And so when they, you know, we went over to American Horror Store and I saw how much they were offering me, I was like, oh, no, I need more money than this.
Right.
And they said, you know, sorry, you know, this is, you know, as much as we have and we're able to offer, you know. And I said, oh, OK, so you tell Ryan Murphy, I said, thank you for the opportunity, but no, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I turned down the offer. And I remember doing so because I actually low key am a scaredy cat and don't want to do horror. Okay. And so that's why I was willing to let it go and thinking that, you know, I'll just, you know, but, you know, and standing there and asking for more money, that's what, so I was willing to do it if you pay me more, if you, you know, if the number hit right or what have you. So, you know, finally they actually came back with the right number. And so I was like, okay, thank you. You know, so okay. You got to learn how to not just accept what people offer you, but especially as a black trans woman, I've learned that I can determine my own value.
Right. You can.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. And you did.
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I hope that I inspired all those candy girls out there, the girls who saw themselves in candy to, you know, because what I think what really inspires the girls is to see that not she wasn't just a character. That rebellious, revolutionary, you know, spark is in me too as I stand up and protest for our rights.
Right. With you just now speaking about, you know, how you had to take that risk and ask for more money. So, like, in terms of entertainment, what do you think is the biggest challenge or what is that the biggest challenge for people? And what would you like to see in Hollywood moving forward when it comes to casting and representation?
Okay, so the biggest challenge in Hollywood are the pick-me's.
Yeah.
The pick-me's are preventing progress.
Mm.
The pick-me's are selling you black excellence. The pick-me's are selling you representation. But what we know is that representation without accountability is just optics.
Hey.
And so that's what's holding it back because we can't get things done because nothing more than white supremacy or, you know, our government or America loves more than a symbol of change so that they don't have to actually do more change.
Yeah.
And so when doing Pose and doing certain things like that, it's like, oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
And now we haven't seen anything like it since.
Yeah, nothing like it.
And so it is upon us. Me, I have written a pilot series based off my life. I have just I am EPing a movie right now that we are currently pitching and talking to major film companies right now, and I am producing it with a major star that we all know and love.
And what about the animated series, Captain Zero?
Yes, I was going to say that too. Give me one second. My phone is ringing, and I don't want that to be inside this thing, so I'm going to let that actually ring out for a second. One second.
No, it's fine. Just know that her phone is ringing, you guys, okay?
Yes, exactly. The phone is ringing off the hook.
Okay.
No, the funny thing is that it wasn't ringing for a long time because, you know, again, Zionist. I'm calling it straight out because there were people calling Zionist, calling to have me removed from various things, even things that I wasn't even being paid for and I was just volunteering
for.
That
may be those type of people.
Those type of people trying to move and shake behind the scenes. And then you've got people in our own community, like I said, who are going to be the pick-me's who know that the culture is asking for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But you're willing to go there, smile, and take pictures and not ask for accountability.
Exactly.
You're willing to go to the White House and take pictures because who doesn't want a chance at the White House who's never been there before? But right. I have been to the White House before. I have met Kamala Harris and Joe Biden several times before. So I'm not looking for a photo op. I'm looking for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the thing is like, we have to, in saying those things, you realize that a lot of support ends up dropping up underneath you. And especially from people you thought were friends who thought they were going to get something by knowing you. So now they're still following you. They're just not liking or sharing your stuff because they're waiting for either everyone to come out against you or for you to come back up and so they can say, I always knew you would do it.
Right.
But weren't there nowhere to be seen to support you or to say, I don't like the way that y'all treating Angelica. Mm. Or to support the projects that you're doing from the nonprofit to the other things. I've got right now a project right now in Tribeca that I executive produce called Captain Zero. Yes. And it is an animated series about a superhero dealing with depression. And a black superhero at that dealing with depression. And I think that
powerful.
It's so powerful because I think the superhero thing is basically a metaphor for black people. Yeah. Because so many of us take on so much and think that we can do so much and mm-hmm. that we have superpowers because we're trying to be black excellence and live up under black excellence, but haven't realized black excellence is a scam in the face of white mediocrity. When they get to be mediocre and get the job, but we have to be excellence, it's a scam. And I learned that from my girl, Ebony K. Williams. I learned that
shout
from her.
To Ebony.
Yeah, shout out to her. So, you know, we have this amazing, I mean, some of the animators on there worked on the animated series Invincible that's on Amazon Prime. And so the animation looks like money. Mm-hmm. We've got me not only executive producing, but I'm voicing two characters. I'm voicing his therapist, the superhero's therapist, and I voice Oblivion, who's one of the main villains of the series. Mm-hmm. She starts off black, you know, she's this black girl with this shave, kind of non-binary trans woman tease. And then yes. when she goes into her superpower, she grows into this big blue, huge like woman with all these muscles and pink hair, you know.
Wow.
So I can't wait to see people at Comic-Con dressing up, you know, as these characters yeah. and stuff like that. But again, having something that can be a vessel for us to discuss mental health.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg selected it and curated it as a part of her selection for the animated series at Tribeca. But I've got something that's huge like this and people in my own community aren't celebrating with me. I got a project at Tribeca right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Give that platform. You know, I just think it's very important that we have people like you. And I had just been waiting to like interview.
Thank you.
I have to interview her because like she's very important to our community. She's important to me for what she represents. And I just love how you. I called it fearless, but I know you said you're not.
I move with it anyway, yes.
It seems to me from the outside.
It's courage. Yeah. It's courage.
Yes, it's encouragement for people like me. And I'm grateful for you. That's all I can say. And I want to say thank you once
thank
again
you.
For coming to my show, expressing my gratitude to you. Like, you'll never understand how this means, you know.
Hopefully, well, let me just tell you, I do understand a little bit, and I'll tell you this, and this is one last thing I want to leave with you and your audience.
Thank you.
Thank you for your response to me. And so I say that because things I do and say ignite a different response out of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to leave this word because I always say that we need to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. And for our community. And what that means is having the ability, responsibility, having the ability to have a response, have an ability to respond. And so what is happening right now is a lot of people with so much that's going on in the world, whether they're taking away our trans rights, whether it's, you know, homophobia, transphobia, racism, all these different things, is that we even have people in political positions where we appointed them and put them and voted them in who don't know how to respond. Mm. And so what I want to leave with folks is what it means is that when you recognize there is wrong happening in the world and injustice, it's not about taking blame.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's about taking responsibility. It's about being the person who's able to say, I can respond to this situation, or having a quality response to life, to challenges, and the people around you. So the reason why I say thank you is because I get a lot of different responses from different people. So I appreciate you responding by bringing me onto your platform and amplifying what I'm doing.
That's all that I'm here to do.
Thank
you. Guys, the one and only Angelica Ross. Like, it's been a pleasure once again. Thank you again. Hopefully we can work more in the future.
I'm absolutely
going to keep you close by.
Thank you.
You know, anything you need from me, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to support.
Appreciate it. Listen, help me show the people our trailer from, you know, from Captain Zero. We have the trailers out. It's out on YouTube as well. But once you see this trailer, you are going to be begging for the movie. And we have already written this movie script, so we just need the funding and everything to get that going. But
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
We've already, we're ready to make the movie.
Well, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Don't you? I believe you.
Thank you so
Angelica
much.
Angelica Ross. Don't forget, you guys. Do you want the tea? Well, simply talk with Turk Bish. Just talk with me.
At Turk Bish underscore. We're talking about here you go. Crunch your eyes and not it. It ain't even eyes. It's a tootsie fucking roll. It's a tootsie roll. That's what you get. Thinking you cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk with Turk Bish.
Turk Bish.
Turk Bish.
Because when I say tech, I don't just mean coding. I mean, these are the things that are going to let you be able to say lights, camera, action. And so with Pose, you know, I learned my value. I learned how to pay attention. I learned to be on. I literally was on my P's and Q's all the time because I knew that I didn't have the privilege like other people may have had to mess up or skip that. I was number 6 or 7 on the call sheet. So, you know, I needed to keep it cute. But when I was then offered the role, when Brian Murphy came to me and said, okay. Yeah, well, not really, but yeah, but you know, when Ryan Murphy came to me and offered me another role on American Horror Story, and but he told me, you know, that I would be, my role would be ending on Pose, I was devastated at first, and you know, I interpreted by the way that he said it was that this is what we were doing, and you know, it was going to move a lot of people and, you know, make a big impact. He said that, you know, I was he really had faith in my acting skills to be able to do this and make people feel it. Yeah. And so, you know, there was this assumption that I would go over to American Horror Story right after Pose. Mm-hmm. What I did was played on that assumption. Because you're not going to just treat me like any tool in the toolbox that you can pick up and put down anytime that you want.
Exactly.
And so when they, you know, we went over to American Horror Store and I saw how much they were offering me, I was like, oh no, I need more money than this.
Right.
And they said, you know, sorry, you know, this is, you know, as much as we have and we're able to offer, you know, and I said, oh, okay. So you tell Ryan Murphy, I said, thank you for the opportunity, but no, thank you. And I turned down the offer. And I remember doing so because I actually, low-key, am a scaredy cat and don't want to do horror. Okay. And so that's why I was willing to let it go and thinking that, you know, I'll just, you know, but you know, and standing there and asking for more money, that's what, so I was willing to do it if you paid me more, if you, you know, if the number hit right or what have you. So, you know, finally they actually came back with the right number. And so I was like, okay, thank you. You know, so you gotta learn how to not just accept what people offer you, but especially as a black trans woman, I've learned that I can determine my own value.
Right. You can.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. And you did.
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I hope that I inspired all those candy girls out there, the girls who saw themselves in candy to, you know, cause what I think what really inspires the girls is to see that not only she wasn't just a character, that rebellious, revolutionary, you know, spark is in me too as I stand up and protest for our rights.
Right. With you just now speaking about, you know, how you had to take that risk and ask for more money. So, like, in terms of entertainment, what do you think is the biggest challenge, or what is that the biggest challenge for people? And what would you like to see in Hollywood moving forward when it comes to casting and representation?
Okay, so the biggest challenge in Hollywood are the pick-me's.
Yeah.
The pick-me's are preventing progress.
Mm.
The pick-me's are selling you black excellence. The pick-me's are selling you representation. But what we know is that representation without accountability is just optics.
Hey.
And so that's what's holding it back, because we can't get things done, because nothing more than white supremacy, or, you know, our government or America loves more than a symbol of change so that they don't have to actually do more change.
Yeah.
And so when doing pose and doing certain things like that, it's like, oh yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
And now we haven't seen anything like it since.
Yeah, nothing like it.
And so it is upon us, me, I have written a pilot series based off my life. I have just, I am EPing a movie right now that we are currently pitching and talking to major film companies right now. And I am producing it with a major, 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 major star that we all know and love. Okay.
And what about the animated series, Captain Zero?
Yes, I was going to say that too. Give me 1 second. My phone is ringing and I don't want that to be inside this thing. So I'm going to let that actually ring out for a second. 1 second.
No, it's fine. Just know that her phone is ringing, you guys. Okay?
Yes, exactly. The phone is ringing off the hook. Okay. No, the funny thing is that it wasn't ringing for a long time because, you know, again, Zionist. I'm calling it straight out because there were people calling Zionist, calling to have me removed from various things, even things that I wasn't even being paid for and I was just volunteering for.
Maybe those type of people.
Those type of people trying to move and shake behind the scenes. And then you've got people in our own community, like I said, who are going to be the pick-me's, who know that the culture is asking for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But you're willing to go there, smile, and take pictures and not ask for accountability.
Exactly.
You're willing to go to the White House and take pictures because who doesn't want a chance at the White House who's never been there before? But right. I have been to the White House before. I have met Kamala Harris and Joe Biden several times before. So I'm not looking for a photo op. I'm looking for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the thing is like we in saying those things, you realize that a lot of support ends up dropping up underneath you. And especially from people you thought were friends who thought they were going to get something by knowing you. So now they're still following you. They're just not liking or sharing your stuff because they're waiting for either everyone to come out against you or for you to come back up and so they can say, I always knew you would do it.
Right.
But weren't there nowhere to be seen to support you or to say, I don't like the way that y'all treating Angelica. Mm. Or to support the projects that you're doing, from the nonprofit to the other things. I've got right now a project right now in Tribeca that I executive produce called Captain Zero.
Yeah.
And it is an animated series about a superhero dealing with depression. And a black superhero at that, dealing with depression. And I think that
powerful.
It's so powerful because I think the superhero thing is basically a metaphor for black people.
Yeah.
Because so many of us take on so much and think that we can do so much and that we have superpowers because we're trying to be black excellence and live up under black excellence, but haven't realized black excellence is a scam in the face of white mediocrity. When they get to be mediocre and get the job, but we have to be excellence, it's a scam. And I learned that from my girl, Ebony K. Williams. I learned that from her. Yeah, shout out to her. So, you know, we have this amazing, I mean, some of the animators on there worked on the animated series Invincible that's on Amazon Prime. And so the animation looks like money. We've got me not only executive producing, but I'm voicing two characters. I'm voicing his therapist, the superhero's therapist, and I voice Oblivion, who's one of the main villains of the series. She starts off black, you know, she's this black girl with this shave, kind of non-binary trans woman tease. And then when she goes into her superpower, she grows into this big blue, huge like woman with all these muscles and pink hair, you know?
Wow.
So I can't wait to see people at Comic-Con dressing up, you know, as these characters and stuff like that. But again, having something that can be a vessel for us to discuss mental health.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg selected it and curated it as a part of her selection for the animated series at Tribeca. But you, again, I've got something that's huge like this, and people in my own community aren't celebrating with me. I got a project at Tribeca right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Give that platform. You know, I just think it's very important that we have people like you. And I had just been waiting to, like, interview.
Thank you.
I have to interview her because, like, she's very important to our community. She's important to me for what she represents. And I just love how you... I called it fearless, but I know you said you're not.
I move with it anyway, yes.
It seems to me from the outside.
It's courage. Yes. It's courage.
Yes. It's encouragement for people like me. And I'm grateful for you. That's all I can say. And I want to say thank you once again for coming to my show, expressing my gratitude to you. Like, you'll never understand how this means, you know.
Hopefully. Well, let me just tell you, I do understand a little bit, and I'll tell you this, and this is one last thing I want to leave with you and your audience.
Thank you.
Thank you for your response to me. And so I say that because things I do and say ignite a different response out of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to leave this word because I always say that we need to learn to take responsibility for ourselves and for our community. And what that means is having the ability to have a response, an ability to respond. And so what is happening right now is a lot of people with so much that's going on in the world, whether they're taking away our trans rights, whether it's, you know, homophobia, transphobia, racism, all these different things, is that we even have people in political positions where we appointed them and put them and voted them in who don't know how to respond. Mm. And so what I want to leave with folks is what it means is that when you recognize there is wrong happening in the world and injustice, it's not about taking blame.
Exactly.
It's about taking responsibility. It's about being the person who's able to say, I can respond to this situation, or having a quality response to life, to challenges, and the people around you. So the reason why I say thank you is because I get a lot of different responses from different people. So I appreciate you responding by bringing me onto your platform and amplifying what I'm doing.
That's all that I'm here to do.
Thank you, guys.
The one and only Angelica Ross. Like, it's been a pleasure once again. Thank you again. Hopefully we can work more in the future.
Absolutely.
Close by.
Thank you.
You know, anything you need from me, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to support.
Appreciate it. Listen, help me show the people our trailer from Captain Zero. We have the trailers out. It's out on YouTube as well. But once you see this trailer, you are going to be begging for the movie. And we have already written this movie script. So we just need the funding and everything to get that going. But we're ready to make the movie.
Well, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Don't you? I believe you.
Thank you so much.
Angelica Ross. Don't forget, you guys. Do you want the tea? Well, simply talk with Turk Bish. Just talk with me.
At Turk Bish _ we're talking about here you go, crunching ice and not it. It ain't even ice. It's a tootsie fucking roll. It's a tootsie roll. That's what you get. Thinking you cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turk Bish.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.